The following sermon, entitled Be Strong and Fear Not, was preached on the evening of November 15, 2020, at Hope Protestant Reformed Church of Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
For a number of reasons, we are going to pause our ongoing series in Habakkuk, and instead tonight we turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Our scripture reading tonight will be Deuteronomy 31, the first 18 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 31, the first 18 verses. And the text for this evening's sermon is verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, this is the inspired and therefore infallible word of our God. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit the land. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priest, the son of Levi, which bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured in many evils, and trouble shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. We end our scripture reading at that point. The text for this evening's sermon is verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These words that make up the text for tonight's sermon are the parting words of the elderly and grandfatherly Moses. For after spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Moses, with the rest of the nation of Israel, have come back to the doorstep of the promised land of Canaan. That is, Israel is now perched on the eastern side of the Jordan River, so that the next steps for the nation are to cross over the Jordan River, conquer the people who inhabit the land of Canaan, and then receive their promised inheritance. But now, before they enter, Moses gives his farewell address. He does so as an aged man. Verse 2 tells us he's 120 years old at this point, making him 60 years older than everyone else in Israel other than Joshua and Caleb. And although Moses had faithfully led the people of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and back to the doorstep of the promised land, nevertheless, he would not be the one to lead them into the promised land of Canaan. For he had fallen into sin, and God had told him, "You will not be the one to lead this people across the Jordan River." And thus, his days are short. He has only a little bit of time left to live, and with that in mind, he now summons the people to gather together with him, to address them one last time, to speak unto them words of encouragement and to give them exhortations. And specifically, he charges the people the way that he does here by telling them to be strong and of a good courage, to not be afraid. And that's God's word for us tonight. For we too look forward to entering into our promised rest, to receiving our spiritual inheritance. But like Israel, we too have various barriers and enemies standing between us and our entrance into glory. And that which lies ahead of us, that which we still have to go through, is sometimes daunting to us. So we need to hear this same word of God tonight, the charge to be strong and of a good courage. The theme for tonight's sermon is be strong and fear not. Be strong and fear not. 2 points tonight. First, the needed charge. And second, the comforting reason. The needed charge and the comforting reason. The charge of verse 6 is be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. These are familiar words to us because this is a common refrain found throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And the fact that we see this refrain again and again and again points to the fact that we need this charge. This is a necessary word for us tonight, and it was certainly necessary for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. To see how much this was needed, we need only to look back at the last time that Israel had come to the doorstep of the promised land of Canaan, and what had happened. We read of that history in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 and 28. This is the report, the evil report of the 10 spies. And we read, "And they told him, 'We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.'" So what these verses are describing is the good of the land, but also what the people of Israel were up against. They were up against a strong people. They were up against walled cities and the children of Anak. And to understand what that's talking about, we simply skip down to verse 31, where we read, "And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. But now, not only does this passage describe what the people had to go through, it also describes the fear and unbelief that characterized the people of Israel the first time they had come to the edge of the land of Canaan some 40 years prior. Because in chapter 13, verse 31, for example, we read the men saying, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And this led the people to say what they did in verse chapter 14, verse 2, "And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness." The people are saying, it would have been better if we had already died than having to try to go through what's ahead of us. So that they conclude in verse 4, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." The people were afraid. And in that fear, they were a mind to give up and to go back. And no doubt, now that 40 years have elapsed, Moses is concerned that that same mentality is still present and still predominant among the people of Israel. And that's why he gives them this charge. That's why he says what he does, to be strong and of a good courage, because certainly the circumstances, what they had to face, that had not changed. There were great obstacles standing between Israel and their promised rest. There was the great barrier that was the Jordan River that they somehow had to get across. There were those walled cities, such as the walled city of Jericho. And remember, they do not know the history of the book of Joshua. We're able to look back and see what God's going to do for them, but they didn't know that yet. They didn't have that revealed unto them, what was to come. And so there were many unknowns for the people. And no doubt, the fact that there was so much unknown likely added to their fear and to their consternation. So there were obstacles between them and the promised land. But now the greatest obstacle were the enemies in the land. Deuteronomy 7 verse 1 speaks of these enemies. It says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou." So they didn't have to beat just one nation, but seven different nations. And God himself says they're greater and mightier than you are. These are nations with trained soldiers and armies ready to fight, whereas Israel is a bunch of former slaves, a group of wilderness wanderers. So that the task before them was daunting, and the fact that the task before them was so daunting made this charge necessary for the Old Testament people of Israel. But we also need this same word as well. For we too face obstacles and enemies. There are obstacles standing before us. Really, this life can be compared to a marathon length military grade obstacle course. We can picture in our minds such an obstacle course, a literal obstacle course that has the high walls that must be scaled, the water elements that perhaps require a soldier to submerge himself underwater. There are the ropes that have to be climbed, the barbed wire that someone has to crawl under. There are obstacles. And there are even many unknown obstacles, things that you can never train for, things that you can never plan ahead for. What obstacle do you face tonight, child of God? What's your Jordan River? What's the walled city of Jericho that stands before you that seems particularly daunting? Some of us face great obstacles at this time. Whether it's a series of surgeries to enlarge the veins going to the heart. Whether it's the ongoing treatments for cancer or some other disease, whether it's the bad days associated with chronic pain. These things can stretch out before us like so many obstacles standing in our way. We have to face one right after another. And while these are perhaps some of the more prominent hurdles, we must not imagine that these are the only obstacles or hurdles that are in view here, because really, an obstacle, a hurdle, is anything standing between us and heaven that serves as a barrier, that hinders us as we go, that makes our journey more difficult, so that a daunting task can serve as an obstacle. Whether that daunting task is a difficult conversation with a loved one, whether it's finishing a large project at school, or even getting caught up on laundry and housework. These things can be so daunting before us that we hardly dare to begin. We can stand paralyzed before them. The obstacles can be a difficult person in our lives, someone who makes our lives wearisome, whether it's a difficult coworker or a wayward family member. Every encounter can seem like an obstacle because we're constantly wondering, what do I say? How do I respond? Every time we talk to them, it feels like we're coming to a wall that we have to scale up and over. The obstacles can be an especially busy and stressful week at work. The type of week where we look ahead and we think, how am I ever going to get through all of this? How am I ever going to get everything done that needs to be done? For the office bearers, it can be the cases that we work. There's difficulty there. And for all of us, it can simply be the mere length of the course, so that while no one obstacle or hurdle seems insurmountable, it's the fact that there's this long string of them all tied together, that there's one after another, and that the fact that it's a marathon length obstacle course can be particularly daunting for us. But now the greatest obstacle is the enemies that we face along the way. That's really the primary application of this text, because while there were certainly barriers between Israel and the Promised Land, the main barrier were the enemies in the land. And we too have enemies. Enemies we're well acquainted with. Enemies we're familiar with. We speak in Reformed circles and really in the church world in common of the threefold enemy, that is the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And from doing battle with these enemies, we recognize that they are mightier and stronger than we are. We feel like we're grasshoppers standing before giants. We don't feel that we match up, and these enemies are therefore frightening to us. And these enemies are ruthless in their tactics. At times they attack us openly, trying to make our life difficult or trying to make us question what we believe. Other times their attacks are more subtle. Other times they try to draw us away from the task at hand. They call us to join them in indulging themselves in their worldly entertainment and the like, to keep us from the task at hand of steadily moving through this obstacle course before us. And what's so troubling about our enemies is they know just when to attack us, don't they? For it's exactly when we're trying to overcome the various obstacles, the difficulties in our lives, that our enemies especially beset us. You see, it's when we're trying to climb over the wall of a busy and stressful week that they come to tempt us. It's when we're crawling under the barbed wire of some sickness or a disease that they try to draw us away from our God. So it's not the case that well, all the obstacles and the enemies are evenly spaced out. It's not the case that you face an obstacle and then there's an enemy and then another obstacle and then another enemy and there's this slow, steady progression of them. But no, it's exactly when we're engaged in some obstacle, it's exactly when we're going through some difficulty that our enemies attack us, especially then. And this is what makes the task daunting before us. This is what makes us begin to think like the people of Israel the first time they came to the promised land. We begin to think it's hopeless. There's no way we're going to get through this. We might as well give up now. We might as well go back to Egypt. Oh, child of God. If that's your thinking this evening, hear the charge of Moses to be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. We've explained why this charge is needed, and now we come to the charge itself. The charge is found there in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. The positive is the first line. Be strong and of a good courage. And as we said, this is a common refrain found throughout Scripture, telling someone to be strong. And most often it's used with reference to those who are getting ready to go into battle, so that it is really a reference to strength in battle, a willingness to fight. And those words, be strong, the word be strong is the broader of the two terms here, and the word be of a good courage is the narrower of the two, and really explains what is meant for that word be of a good courage. It's a very specific term that refers to stoutness and boldness, a willingness to face whatever lies before us and endure whatever is coming. For example, this is the same word used in Ruth 1, verse 18. Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded. She was of a good courage to go with her. Then she left off speaking. In other words, Ruth was determined to go with Naomi. She was of a good courage. So that to be of a good courage means to keep moving forward in spite of the dangers and the unknowns that lie ahead. So the positive is be strong and of a good courage. The negative is what follows. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And again, there's two words. The first being the more general word. Don't be afraid. This is the general word for fear that includes both the emotion of fear as well as the intellectual anticipation of some evil. And then a more specific word is added. Nor be afraid of them. That word, nor be afraid of them, is the stronger of the two words. This word has the idea of being terrified, of being so scared that one is shaking, one is trembling in fear. This is the type of fear that causes one to retreat, to give up, and to turn back. And the point Moses is making here is, do not let your fears overcome you. Do not let them control you. Because Moses is not saying, you may never feel the emotion of fear, nor is he calling the people to develop an overconfidence that's void of a healthy respect for danger. But the point is, do not let your fears control you. Do not let them overwhelm you. Do not be like a soldier in World War I who perhaps was so gripped by fear that he was unwilling to exit the trench when they had the opposing army on the run, or was so governed by fear that he couldn't even raise his rifle to fire a shot back. Moses is saying, do not be shell-shocked. Do not be paralyzed in your fear. So that we see the positive and the negative go together. He says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. That is, do not allow the prospects of obstacles or of battle to render you ineffective. Do not let it be that you decide it's hopeless and we need to retreat and give up and go back to Egypt. Instead, positively, be strong and of a good courage. Stay engaged. Keep moving forward. That's the idea. But now, while it's one thing to explain what each one of these various words means that make up this charge, there's a certain difficulty that this charge presents. Namely, why is Moses commanding the people to do this? Because that's what we have here. This is in the imperative. These are commands. He's telling them, be strong. Be of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And this seems kind of like an odd charge to us. Be strong. It seems almost like a father taking his son to a literal military grade marathon length obstacle course and expecting his son to go through it and then telling his son, well, be strong, my son. Conjure up the strength in yourself. Develop the muscles that you need so that you can get through this. And that would be an odd charge for a father to give to his son. But that's most certainly not the idea here when Moses tells the people to be strong and of good courage. For the point of this charge is to trust in God who is your strength. That's the point. Trust in God who is your strength. Rely on Him. Place your confidence in Him. Depend upon Him. And that is the idea becomes evident when we look at this charge, be strong and of a good courage, and see how it's used throughout the Old Testament scriptures. We said this is a common refrain. And if we look at some of the various instances of this being used, we see that almost invariably, it's connected to what God would do for His people. Let's give some examples of that. Deuteronomy 1, verses 29 through 30, we read this. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. So similar language. And now notice this is added. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Another example, Joshua 10, verse 25. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. So there's those familiar words. And now notice what's added. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. And now it's added, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And we could give many, many other examples, all showing that when God instructs His people, be strong and of a good courage, He immediately adds, because this is what I'm going to do for you. So that the point is, we're called to trust in our God who is our strength. So that if we go back to that illustration of a father taking his child to this marathon length military grade obstacle course, the point is he may very well tell his son, be strong, my son. But then he immediately adds, because I'm going to get you through this. As a grown man, I have the strength to get through this myself. I've been through this before, and I'm going to make sure that you too are able to get you through this. I will carry you through this, my son. And that's really what God is saying to us here. God says to His people, I will help you over the wall. I will carry you on my shoulders when you pass through the waters. I will protect you when you walk through the fire. And I will take care of your enemies. So that be strong means really depend on me because I am strong. And thus for us the calling is to trust. To believe, to do exactly what the children of Israel failed to do the first time they came to the edge of the promised land of Canaan. For we read in Scripture that it was on account of their unbelief that they failed to enter. And thus for us, the calling is to trust in our God by putting one foot in front of the other, relying upon Him every step of the way. For those of you who are in essentials, this is similar to what we talked about the other night with regard to trust in our God. We use the illustration of the trust fall, right? How someone might fall back into the arms of another. And we use that to illustrate the second element of saving faith. Faith is both knowledge and confidence, assurance, trust, reliance. And when you rely on someone, you trust them to catch you when you fall. Well, the idea here is similar, only rather than falling back, we're trusting on God as we take that next step forward, proceeding down the path that He has marked out for us on the way to the promised land. He would have us to trust in Him, and that's part of the imperative. The other part of the reason that this is put in the form of a command is that God gives us His strength by telling us to be strong. God's word, His charge for us tonight, is itself a power. Specifically, He uses His word to strengthen our faith. We've just made the point that really this is a matter of believing and trusting in our God. And now He uses His word to help us to see how utterly dependent we are upon Him. He helps us to see our weakness. He helps us to see the truth of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that His grace is sufficient for us because His strength is made perfect in our weakness, so that the more fully we rely upon Him and depend upon Him, the more we're given the strength to press on. So God, through Moses tonight, charges us to be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. And He gives us good reason, a comforting reason to heed this charge. And in a way, we've somewhat touched on this, but now we need to draw it out and deal, especially with the second half of the verse. The second half of the verse gives us the reason for heeding this charge. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Positively, it's the promise of God's presence, His presence, that is reason to heed this charge. This is the encouragement we need tonight. And what's especially encouraging is who it is that will be with us. And that's the emphasis here in the text, because in the text we read, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. And those words, He it is, do not need to be there in order to make the point. It could simply read, for the Lord thy God doth go with thee. But by adding those words, for the Lord thy God, He's the one that doth go with thee. It's emphasizing this point. So that what Moses is telling the people is, it's not merely going to be Joshua leading you into the promised land. It's not merely the case that God's going to send all of His angels to help you. It's not that you're going to have some brave and strong earthly father that's going to help you through this. But it's Jehovah God, the one who is the Lord, the great I am, the God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and plenteous in goodness and in truth. The Lord who is your covenant God. Because Moses says to Israel, the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. The one who has established His covenant with you. The one who has made you His people. And He will go with you. That is, more literally, He will walk with you. That's the literal idea of that word, go. So what Moses is saying is that just as God walked with Adam, just as God walked with Enoch, so too God will walk with you. And really, He had been for some time. If you remember, it was the pillar of cloud and fire that had been guiding and leading Israel through all their time in the wilderness, that symbol of God's presence. He was walking with them in that pillar of cloud and fire, and He would continue to do so because there was another symbol of God's presence. He gave them that Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant would show in a very concrete way that God was literally walking, going with His people all throughout these obstacles and against their enemies. For what was it that was the first thing into the Jordan River? It was the Ark of the Covenant. What was the first thing in that long procession walking around the walls of Jericho all those times but the Ark of the Covenant? A visible manifestation that God was walking, going with His people, leading them and carrying them through. And as He went, He was active. He wasn't just simply walking by them as a close companion, but He was sovereignly working and carrying out His plan. That was the point of those parallel passages that we read. God tells His people, be strong and of a good courage because I'm going to save you. I'm going to fight for you. And we see that even here in the context in Deuteronomy 31 verse 3. We read, the Lord thy God, He will go over before thee and He will destroy these nations from before thee. God is going to be active. He's going to be engaged as He walks with you. And we see that when the Ark of the Covenant is brought into the edge of the Jordan River, it's the moment the priests dip their toes in that the waters are held back so that the people can pass safely through on dry ground. And it's when the Ark is carried around the walls of Jericho those seven times that God Himself then causes those walls to come crashing down so that the people can enter into Jericho and overcome the enemy. And so too, God is sovereignly at work in our lives as He goes with us. He's at work in that He's carrying out His sovereign plan. He's executing His decrees for us. Our God is with us. He's present. That's the positive reason for heeding this word and this charge to be strong and of a good courage. And now the positive is strengthened by the negative. The negative is found in the very last part of the verse. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will not fail thee. And the literal idea of those words is He will not let you drop. We can use the illustration of a father holding on to a young child. And that young child sensing danger around and crying out to his or her father, Dad, don't let me drop. And the father tightening his grip to reassure that child, I won't. I'm going to hold on to you. I will not let you fall. And that's God's word to His people tonight. He'd carried them all the way through the wilderness and He wasn't going to all of a sudden relax His grip now that they came to the edge of the land of Canaan. And furthermore, that He will not fail thee also underscores that He will not fail with respect to His promises. God had promised them the land of Canaan. This has been His promise going all the way back to Abraham. And now God was going to keep that promise. He will not fail with respect to His promises. He's entirely trustworthy. He will not fail. And then it's added, nor forsake thee. Forsake thee. And that word forsake is a strong word. I believe I've used this illustration from this pulpit before, but the idea of being forsaken is you're driven out to the desert, shoved out of the car, and then you watch that car drive off, leaving you in the desert with no intentions of coming back. That's forsaken. And Moses' word to Israel is, God's not going to do that to you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to walk out on you. He's not going to leave you in the hour of your deepest distress. You may be absolutely sure of that, child of God. You may be sure of that, even though we deserve to be forsaken. For by our sins, we provoke our God. By our sins, we give Him every reason to let us drop and to forsake us and leave us and abandon us. But He will not. He will not exactly because of the saving work of Jesus Christ. The one who is truly forsaken. Not driven out into a desert, but led to a hill called Golgotha. Not shoved out of a car, but nailed to a cross. And His own testimony was, He was forsaken by His God. Forsaken during those 3 hours of darkness. For during those 3 hours of darkness, He did not experience the warmth of God's countenance, that is, the warmth of God's presence. But instead, He endured the burning heat of God's destroying wrath. But you see, He was forsaken so that we never would be forsaken. And now it's on the basis of His saving work that we can be sure of the promises found here in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, that our God is with us, that He will not fail us, and that He will not forsake us. Do you see how tender your Father's love is for you tonight, child of God? Did you notice, as we've explained this passage, that it consists of three sets of synonyms? Because it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Three sets of synonyms. In addition, there are two pairs of positive and negative statements, because positively, we're told to be strong and of a good courage. Negatively, fear not nor be afraid of them. Positively, the Lord thy God is with you. He will go with you. Negatively, He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And what we see in this is the patience of our God toward us, His people. He's taking the time to impress this upon us. Our God is tender in His care and in instruction. He's reiterating the point again and again so that He's sure that it sinks deep into our hearts tonight. So that we walk away with a clear understanding. He wants us to know that He means what He says here. And so He says it multiple times and in multiple different ways. To impress upon us His love and care for us, His people. So that we have every reason to take courage and to have comfort tonight as a people. Beloved congregation, be encouraged by this word. As in the days and weeks to come, you face those obstacles and those enemies. As you face the obstacles, be encouraged that your God is with you. As your pastor, I try to know what's going on in your lives. Having been here a year, a little over, come to know some of the difficulties, some of the struggles you face. But the reality is, I do not know the specifics, the details of what many, most of you are facing. But your God does. He's the one who has sovereignly determined them. In His eternal counsel, He has laid out the path before you, along with including every single obstacle, every single hurdle that you face. And He's put each one there in a specific place according to His wisdom so that your God knows what you're up against. And He will be with you all along the way, carrying you and giving you the strength that you need. Take courage tonight, beloved congregation. Take courage as you fight against your enemies, that your God will not leave you nor forsake you. Yes, our enemies are strong. Yes, we feel it, that we feel like grasshoppers before them and they seem like giants, but the God who's with you is the God who's the omnipotent God, the one who is almighty, the one who has all strength, and any strength that's found outside of him traces its source back to him. He will overcome your enemies for you. For the office bearers, it's a special word for you tonight. A comforting word, to be of a good courage. And the fact that there's a word for office bearers comes out in what follows. Verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses essentially repeats himself here, but now he speaks directly to Joshua. That is, he addresses Joshua as an office bearer, the leader. And it's not something different that he gives to Joshua. It's the same word of encouragement, but now spoken specifically to an office bearer. So for the office bearers, take comfort that your God is with you, that he's not going to walk out on you in the midst of your work, that he will give you the strength for all of your work. And now for all of us, as we consider the prospect of receiving our internal inheritance, even though there are obstacles, even though there are enemies, we can be absolutely sure that our God will bring us through and bring us into that promised rest. And that's evident from the specifics of what God says to Joshua, the end of verse 7. Verse 7, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Joshua, make sure this happens. Stronger than that, cause them to inherit the land. And now obviously the meaning cannot be that Joshua himself would be able to actually and truly give them the land. But the point was that Joshua was the appointed leader, the one that would go before them and bring them and guide them into the promised land, making sure that they received it. And in that, Joshua obviously points us to Jesus Christ, the one who truly causes us to receive our inheritance. For ultimately, Jesus Christ is the one who is with us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. For Jesus Christ came to be with us by coming down and being born of a woman, taking upon himself a true human nature, by being made partakers of our flesh and blood. He is Emmanuel, the name that means God with us. And even though he's ascended into heaven, he's not left us without a comforter. For he has sent his own Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to live and to dwell within our hearts so that he continues to be with us. And that Spirit is never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us in a moment of trouble. But instead, it's through the Spirit of Christ that we're given the strength that we need to continue putting one's foot in front of the other, so we continue on toward heaven. It's by his power working in us that we will be brought home. For our Savior Jesus Christ has gone before us. He's preparing a place for each one of God's people. And as the one who is truly Jehovah salvation, that's what the name Joshua and Jesus both mean, is the one who is truly Jehovah's salvation. He will see to it that we receive our inheritance, our spiritual Canaan. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this comforting word. And we pray that Thou wilt work powerfully in our hearts to trust in Thee, our God, and to find all of our strength in Thee alone. Grant us Thy grace for this week to come, and guide us as we face the various obstacles and enemies that stand in our path. Hear this prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.